Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have everyone join us for another one of these Business of Digital podcasts. Today we got a special guest for you, Scott Clark. How's it going, Scott?
Hey there. Good.
Hey, and before we say hi to Dave,
because no one cares about me.
Well, you know. But it's been a while since you were reminding me that it's been the last time that we were together, so to speak, was on an SMX panel, and we couldn't figure out but exactly when, but many years ago.
Yeah, it was. Uh-huh.
But it's nice to have chat with you again and have you on the show, and I'm just going to turn the time over to you for a brief intro. Just let our listeners know who you are, and anything that you want them to know about you.
Oh, cool. Well, I've been in this search world since basically it started, and back in the day, working now at, my firm is called Buzz Maven. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. Flyover land, right?
Yeah.
But no, I've been doing a lot of SEO and PPC for clients. My clients range from around $10 million to over $3 billion. And I've had a lot of work in the multi-location franchise space, including healthcare. It's my wife and I running the company.
Awesome.
And we are more boutique. I usually run about 10 or 12 clients at a time. And that's pretty much it. I know a lot of people in the search industry. It goes way, way back. I think when we first had our first search conference I went to, I think we all fit in the same steakhouse. So it's been
wow.
A while. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I appreciate the intro. It's perfect into what we wanted to chat about with you, basically how to leverage AdWords for multiple locations and local at scale and all that good stuff. And so I guess really what I want to do is actually before we started chatting, you had mentioned, there was a story that you mentioned, the $2 million almost mistake and just the state of the industry. And I'd love for you to maybe just start off with some stories like that and kind of just share with everybody where you feel like the industry is at and where we're at, and then just jump into it. I'd love that. This is, and I'll let Dave give any other kind of intro if he wants to, because this is a topic he's been sitting on for a few months now. But we're excited to get you on here and chatting about it. So let's do it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I see everything. I'm constantly being exposed to things that make you just head desk. And it's. The state of the industry, it's such a mix. I think that you have a lot of really quite good PPC managers who are being scientific and careful with client money. And I'm talking in the larger spend sort of space. I look at a lot of accounts for prospective customers, and then I get hired to do a fair number of audits. And I see just huge, huge, what I call inconvenient truths. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of cost of inaction, costs that they've experienced, and a lot of opportunity cost. And these are the kinds of things that nobody has on their spreadsheets. They don't say, well, what was the cost of not doing something in Google Ads, and what was the cost of not doing not optimizing scientifically, for example. So what I just, in every account I tend to look at, there are these huge things that sometimes have long periods where the account has just been left in cruise control, so to speak. And meanwhile, all of the industry and the technology has moved forward in one way or the other. And then you start adding up, well, this problem allowed their, whoever this is, their competitors to just sort of keep moving forward while they stood still. So I see quite a bit of that. It's a pretty rare case when I pop open a customer's Google Ads account and see something that's just really well put together these days. It just feels like that's the exception anymore. So the industry is definitely in needed. Strong paid search people are definitely needed. And I think that the rarity right now is in the scientific approach to accounts. So you optimize out all the really easy stuff, the things that are real obvious, of course, and then you get an account that sort of reaches its diminishing returns on all that. And then you have to get scientific and really divide and conquer to keep those conversion rates and return on ad spends moving upwards.
Question: if you were to look at an account, what is the very first thing you go to, a new account or whenever you're auditing, what is the first thing you go to, just knowing that 7 times out of 10 or 9 times out of 10 someone has overlooked it, or that you're going to find some sort of issue with an account? And this could be either e-commerce, a lead gen, multiple locations, small little business, just in general, what is that one thing you always see?
I think there's three sort of stopping points really quickly in any account. The first one is you look at their way their conversions are set up. And so you'll hit the conversions manager in ads interface and just look at what they actually are importing as conversions. And so that's a real indicator of what's going on. You know, are they using micro conversions? Are they just only, you know, are they using any conversions?
I've seen no conversions or using PDF as the landing page.
Yeah. Another one that I like to go to is the shared audiences, or sorry, the audiences level. I want to see bid adjustments that are really showing that they're sculpting their audiences for Google Ads. And if not, you know, if they're spending the exact same amount on every type of person coming into the ads, then that's a real indicator of a lack of sophistication. And that usually represents a pretty big wasted budget right there. And then, of course, I spend a lot of time, I hit the search terms report. So I'll pull back the search terms report to 90 days or so, and I'll just sit and look at it. And it will tell you a lot about the matching that's going on, the targeting, the quality of their negative keyword strategy, the quality of their ad group splits. You know, we used to all use the single keyword ad groups approach, and now it's more single theme ad group approach. So the search terms report is like a way to sort of tell you where to look further. And so if you just have a few minutes to look at account, I think those three things will tell you a whole lot about that client.
The single keyword ad group. Mm-hmm. So you are in the camp of it is a horrible thing always, it is a great thing always, or it just depends?
Well, I've kind of evolved over time. because, you know, the match type stuff in Google has changed so much now. Yeah. We're getting a lot less precision. And so the benefits of single keyword ad groups is starting to wane a little. Although I've always been a believer in single themed ad groups. So, and dynamic keyword insertion and ad customizers that go with that. So I want the ad to be very precise and have good continuity, you know, between the search itself, the ad itself, the landing page, et cetera. And we just have to evolve now that we can't depend on these exact matches being truly exact match anymore. And for you know, also the single keyword ad groups, they just take a ton of time to manage. And you know, you also kind of go against a lot of the machine learning advantages when you've isolated your data into small little strings, right? So there are some things that combine, when you combine the volume, you are compromising a little bit on the precision, but you can make some of that up with some of the other approaches.
Yeah, I'm trying to think through the accounts that I manage now, and I think there's one where we actually moved 2 different keywords into their own campaign and their own single keyword ad groups because the AI was bidding on, when we moved them up, I was able to bid $3 a click and we were getting a ton of stuff for like just a couple bucks, if that. When it was in the ad group and the AI was taking over or we were trying to be aggressive, it was paying $60 for the same click.
Wow, my gosh.
But the other problem is that it was also precise phishing, precise keywords, longer tail, versus there's a lot of people that just don't know what this product is. And it's a lot of people search for just random stuff. And because of that random stuff, we were paying ridiculous amounts for clicks, but we were also going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so that was one of the few times recently where I've looked and gone, okay, for a single word, we can control the budget for that campaign. We can geo target, we can do a bunch of other stuff. and we can still try not to miss out on those opportunities, but the cost of wrong and bad clicks and just junk, it was just killing that campaign.
Yeah.
And there was, it still gets more leads from that, those two, than any of the other ones, because there is good stuff in there, but to try to find those little gold nuggets was so much work.
Yeah. And I, when I say single themed ad groups, they're still quite precise. The number of keywords that are in there are, you know, instead of having three, you know, a broad match, phrase match, and exact match version of a single phrase, we might end up with 15 or 20 in there to capture a little bit more breadth. And then we would create the broad match carefully so that when it did the dynamic keyword insertion, it made sense inside of the ad text itself. And then for ad customizers, sometimes those are great for these expensive campaigns where you need a little more precision, where you need to bring in something like a city name, or you need to bring in a country name or something to make the ad feel like it was written just for that search.
And since the whole topic was kind of location at scale, you're talking about audiences and these some other things, and some people that either do PPC are probably nodding their heads, and other people that don't do PPC or Google ads on a daily basis are probably like, what are you guys talking about? From some of the things we've been talking, how do you scale it, or what do you do to say, you know, a 3-store or a 10 location like pizza place? Today I think is National Pepperoni Day or something. So
is it?
I think so. Every day in our
house.
That's
the greatest thing I've heard all day. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome, Matt. It's national something every day, at least 5 different things. We'll just say it's National Pizza Day for why not.
Yeah. Although I wish I was in Chicago for it, you know, with you.
Maybe I'll go to Lou's. You have one down the street from you. Whatever.
I'm jealous of your options up there.
Cheater. but what do you do differently or the same if it's one location or 5 or 10? You know, is it scripts do you rely on, or is it the audiences and geolocation? Like, how do you balance the not stepping over borders and just trying to get as much as you can with managing so many different locations?
Yeah, I like to use an approach. Now, it's going to depend a little bit by business, because some companies, they run their other AdWords stuff as one account with lots of campaigns for each location. And then others, they have separate accounts for each location.
I've seen both,
and this will depend somewhat on the kind of the marketing philosophy of the company as to whether they use a central marketing pool, and the business development is split between locations that way. So everyone's allocated a certain amount to spend on business, you know, co-op models, things like that. And so my favorite to work on is when there's a central campaign, because everything becomes so much easier to work on. But if you're going to do optimizations, I like to sort of use what I call a gold standard approach, where we pay a lot of attention to one campaign and optimize, or one location, and optimize as far as we can before we expand too much. And then we syndicate what we've learned out to the other locations in a way. So that would mean that we would actually have separate campaigns for each location with separate targeting. And then whatever we need to do on negative keywords. Negative keywords, I call them metro firewalls when we have the metropolitan area, for example, because we don't want the people to get too much, for example, queries for competition, if the person answering their phone is not good at cross-selling, for example. So we have different firewalls, different negative keyword lists by campaign for each location, for example. So we'll build and optimize a campaign, especially if we're just learning about the business that we're working on, and as we make different optimizations on that gold standard that we prove are working, then we will roll those out to the other cities in a synchronized way. How you do that is a Google Ads editor is a really great time saver for a lot of that. So we will use that to do some import export magic to get the same things spread out to each location. If we're going to do so, that's an account structure where you have different campaigns and per you know, a campaign per location, for example. Now, if you want to run a single campaign and it just use different geo targeting, right? So you just have locations specified in the campaign itself. We try to be real careful there on our bidding to use staged bidding. So if you imagine that, you know what like a bow and arrow target looks like, you know, a bullseye in the middle and you have 10 points here and 20 points here. And as you move out from the location, the bidding is actually decreased. And so we have these little bullseyes all over the place in a lot of these because we want to bid more for people who are closer, they're more likely to convert. And then we roll those location ideas out. There's a lot of shared stuff between these locations. Like we'll do a lot of sharing of negative keywords. We'll do a lot of sharing of audience models, like age, demographics, things like that. And then we just look for the efficiencies that we can find where there's a lot of commonalities. You know, a Memphis and a Nashville, they're going to have a lot of commonalities in how they're searching and what works. And so we just figure out what that is.
Yeah. For that type of setup, it really does. There is a lot of scale that you can have, like a normal small business with one location trying to have you work on it. Like you only have one place to test with when you can roll it out to a bunch. And that's what I've done in the past when I worked with, a food delivery company, and we had 10 or 15 locations. I think that's like the most locations I've ever worked with. And I was like, holy cow. And of course, most of them were in different accounts and some of them were in the same. So it was like a mix of both just to make it really confusing.
Yeah.
And every month I had to like make sure that we were within budget and this. But yeah, you once you get those negatives and certain things, there's scale there. So for the other 10 locations or 100 locations, it's easy. You just apply it.
Yeah, another great tool that some people just never use in Google Ads is the Ad Customizers feature. And Ad Customizers allow you to kind of trigger on various things like location of the searcher and then actually replace text. And you can do all of this sort of in like Google Sheets. So by setting up the Google Sheets, you know, you can actually set up triggers there, like for this campaign and for this ad group in this searcher location, use this text for the description number 2, for example. And if you're careful with that, it really helps additional, you know, more because now you're editing a spreadsheet instead of like doing a lot of work in the ads interface.
And for those that have no idea what we're talking about, I will include a link because earlier this year I was working on a project where I needed to target not DMAs, not city names, not any radius, but it was like something in the middle. And I, of course, pinged Scott and was trying to walk through it. And
that
I
was zero help.
Yeah, well, you were, because I hadn't really thought of using the sheets and that stuff for it. So, but just because of the way the locations were, it was very difficult. And I had to kind of use an Excel, kind of, you know, drop in the city names and drop in this stuff. But there wasn't an easy way to do it. But I hadn't been that aware of using the sheets to bring in ads to that level and at that scale, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, there's another tip for people is if you have a client who just does not want to be in the Google Ads interface, or you don't want them to be in the Google Ads interface, you can actually use sheets for that, so that they feel they can see kind of the ad text. And this isn't for responsive ads; it's for, you know, the other traditional ads, but in search. So you know you can see the ad text and they have a feel for what you're actually using for language at a glance, and you just share the spreadsheet with them and turn it to read-only mode. Nice. And you know, I've found people really love looking at that for search. Now as we move to responsive ads, you know, things are changing, and what we can do with inserted text is changing. And so I'm not yet a fan of those in the multi-location scalable scenarios, even though I do appreciate what they offer in terms of using, you know, machine model for optimization. I'm looking for ways to work with both of these ideas.
Awesome. Well, Scott, we really appreciate you taking some time today and chatting with us all about, you know, with everything. And so I don't know if you have any final thoughts, or if Dave, if you have like a final question, trying to keep this our normal around 20 minutes. But any final questions or final thoughts for Scott?
I think, is there any difference in approach from a one unit to a five to a 500 that you think has helped you over the years? Or is it just kind of walking through what you talked about earlier?
Well, the one thing, of course, is that because there aren't really very many tools designed for this out there on the market that you can use, is that if you get really good at using Google Ads Editor with Excel, you can really accelerate your efforts. That's a pretty magic thing for most people when they realize that, you know, you can use a lot of the productivity of mass editing in Excel, and then pull things straight away back into the ads. Just have to be careful that if you're changing an ad text, then you are resetting its stats, right, for quality score and such. So you know, sometimes you want to do Google Ads experiments and roll those in as drafts. Mm-hmm.
So you don't use a lot of scripts because of the impact to so many different accounts, the unknown, and sometimes it's across different ones, or is it mostly they just don't apply to the things that you've been working on?
No, I use quite a few scripts. Okay. What I am bothered more and more about on the scripts is they tend to disrupt the steady state for machine learning. And in that, as you have scripts, you know, tweaking bids or tweaking budgets or whatever they happen to be tweaking, they're affecting the machine model. And so in some ways it's at least good. Yeah, it's good to be aware of how often you're changing things. And if you have, so you have to just be careful with frequency of script applications. But no, so you can't do, there's some things you just can't do without scripts and rules, you know, AdWords rules.
One of my favorite scripts that I've probably used, because I've worked with a bunch of nonprofits over the last couple of years, is as soon as something falls to a 3 quality score, I pause it.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It's saved me so many headaches with keywords and getting flagged by, you know, the Google ad grant group.
Yeah, there's all kinds of those out there on the web that, you know, little productivity hacks that will email you in certain ways and kind of let you quit worrying too much about logging in and seeing every little nuance every time you log in.
So, thank you, Senor.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you very much. There has been many, many nuggets. Hopefully people have been paying attention.
What did you learn, Matt?
Too much to write down right now,
Dave. All the PPC that you do.
All the PPC, yeah. But we really appreciate you being on, Scott, and just ignore Dave. I do. And
and my wife.
All right.
Well, for Dave, thanks so much, you guys.
Perfect.
Thank you, sir.
For Dave Rohr and Scott Clark, I'm Matt Soltila, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks.